Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hello there, my very good friends. On today's wrestling news, Nikki Cross is now a superhero, and yes, that is a real development.
Alexa Bliss debuts a new theme on Monday Night Raw.
We've got the first batch of Money in the Bank card announcements following Raw, including the first competitors for the ladder matches.
And another huge match could be set for the SummerSlam card. I'm Adam Wilborn.
And I'm Andy Murray.
And this is the news.
All right, we're going to talk about Nikki Cross first and foremost. Complete character reinvention for her on this week's episode of Raw. It was not a direction I saw coming, but hey, here we are. She's a superhero now. That's the long and short of it. There was a backstage promo that she did where she was like standing there addressing the camera and she had a mask on and some blue face paint beneath it. And she spoke a lot about how beating Charlotte Flair and Rhea Ripley had ignited a spark in her heart. She's all about positive thinking now. She's going to show the spirit that lives in all of us. And then it zoomed out. She's wearing full-on superhero attire. It's like blue and gold. Then we get a match. It's Nikki Cross and her old tag team partner, Alexa Bliss, versus Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler. The winners go in to the Money in the Bank ladder match. And surprise, surprise, Nikki and Alexa won via fiend magic. There was some the hypnosis possession stuff with Reggie and Nia, and the usual kind of stuff happened there, the kind of stuff you would expect. But Nikki actually was in the ring for the vast majority of the match. She scored the pinfalls, so, you know, they at least gave her some shine in that regard. Now, I bet when you saw the title in the thumbnail of this video, you thought grumpy old Andy Murray and Adam Wilborn were going to come on this video and just crap all over this superhero. But personally, I can't really be mad at this, right? I'm a 33-year-old man. It's not for me. It's for the kids. It's kid content. And that is definitely a part of the audience that WWE needs to do a better job of appealing to, given that their average viewer is something like over 50 years old.
Yeah.
Like 50 plus is easily their dominant viewership segment. Somebody tweeted the other day, WWE is a kids' television show. It is a television show written for kids but watched by 50-year-olds. Sorry, I don't remember who did that. If you tweeted that, please shout me out so I can give you the credit, because it's a good take. But look, the Nikki Cross stuff personally isn't for me, but I mean, if it does a good job of appealing to like younger people and children and everything else, I'm not going to be upset about it, man. I'm not going to come here and do my Alexa Bliss magic thing, because it is what it is. And here we are.
Yeah, personally, I think it's a load of bollocks. But like you say, it's not aimed at me. And I don't want to bury it too much, because I saw Killian Dane, Nikki Cross's are off, saying that she is the one who came up with this, and she's, you know, basically forced this through. And I don't like it, but if she enjoys it, and if it ticks boxes for WWE, then fair enough. And I almost could barely concentrate on what was going on there. Because Alexa Bliss has got a new theme, ladies and gentlemen. And I do hope we're not going to get in trouble here, Andy. But I believe we can play a bit of that theme right now. And gone is her basically nicking Bray Wyatt's childish, spooky fun theme. And the new one goes, the evil is mine. Welcome to my playground. It'll be fun. My promise. The evil is mine. That's basically what the theme sounds like. It's got Lily all over it. She ain't going anywhere, even though she's in timeout. And it's a vibe, I believe the kids say, Andy.
It's a something. it's a something. I'll give it that. I guess kind of like the manic talking parts fit the character and everything else. But it's a really weird theme because it doesn't really get going. And then suddenly you get like this 10-second blast of rap metal.
Yeah.
Like it sounds almost like the old Retribution theme. And then it goes back to the weird stuff. I don't know what's going on with WWE's entrance themes at the moment. Well, I do know what's going on with WWE's entrance themes at the moment. Jim Johnson's not there. He hasn't been there for years. And CFOs aren't there either. Personally, for me, like, I'm just not really into this new batch of themes coming out. This is going to be an unpopular opinion because I know people love that Roman Reigns theme. But this stuff sounds so, like, thin and not full-bodied and not organic and really artificial, a lot of it. This theme is kind of along a similar line. I guess, you know, it does fit the character to a certain degree, but it's not as bombastic or as enjoyable as some of the themes of old. And I just miss CFOs and Jim Johnson, man.
Yeah,
bring them back.
Yeah, bring them back. All is forgiven. And look, I get it encapsulates her character, and it's a hell of a... Imagine getting that sort of, you know, blurb. We want to create a new theme for Alexa Bliss. She's nonce bait, basically. And can you kind of reflect that in terms of like nightmarish but metal? And I can't think of a recent WWE theme I actually like other than Roman Reigns. Everything else has been atrocious. So stick with this one. Probably, although maybe it'll grow on me. Who knows? I doubt it. I sincerely doubt it. But yes, it must be called The Evil Is Mine or something. That seems to be a central theme of it.
Yeah, it surely does. Money in the Bank. We got some Money in the Bank developments. Oof. This is WWE's next pay-per-view. It's the first pay-per-view coming out of the Thunderdome era. Fans in attendance in Fort Worth, Texas. It's going to be cool. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a good time. And WWE announced a bunch of stuff for the card on last night's Raw. We'll go through the singles matches first. You got Charlotte Flair versus Rhea Ripley, Raw Women's title. I think we all saw this coming, right? Coming out of Hell in a Cell when Ripley retained the title via DQ on Raw. Sonya Deville and Adam Pearce were like, hey, you're taking the piss, Rhea Ripley. You are taking the mick with this champion's advantage thing. And they booked the rematch. So I guess we're getting more of that feud.
Who's the baby face in that feud again? I saw you reporting a double turn and I didn't know which way you meant yesterday.
Yeah, I think they flipped back. They're both tweeners now. Also, in a match that should actually be really good, Bobby Lashley versus Kofi Kingston for the WWE title. How cool is that? Kofi getting a big title match on pay-per-view again. You love to see it. This comes following an impromptu Hell in a Cell match. All right, on last night's episode of Raw, in which Bobby Lashley killed poor Xavier Woods and then tormented Kofi by beating him up inside the cell. We also got some qualifiers for the Money in the Bank match. On the women's side, Asuka, Naomi, Alexa Bliss, and superhero Nikki Cross are the four women who've qualified. Four more to come, presumably, from the SmackDown side. Did SmackDown have four women on the roster at the moment? That could be a challenge. It's really thin over there on SmackDown. It's a good show, but it's a really thin roster. And then in the men's match, we've got Ricochet, John Morrison, and Riddle. Five more to be confirmed. However, on next week's Raw, there is a second chance triple threat match between AJ Styles, Randy Orton, and Drew McIntyre. Those are the guys that lost the qualifying matches this time around. So, card coming together already. It's a month away, the pay-per-view. But it's a good lineup so far, and I'm sure it'll be a fun show, particularly with fans.
Yes, I wasn't a huge fan of Hell in a Cell. Certainly disappointed by it. I've already forgotten all about that, and I'm absolutely jazzed for this pay-per-view. Like you say, Charlotte vs. Rhea, if they actually build who they are as people, can still have a good match. We saw that at WrestleMania last year, but for the moment, it's just crap. But Kofi versus Bobby Lashley is going to be great. Money in the Bank ladder matches are still one of my favourite things in WWE's calendar. I love the qualifiers, especially on the men's side. Ricochet, like just different people. I know Randy Orton's probably going to go in there and there's going to be the moment with Randy Orton and Riddle and what have you. By the way, where's Damian Priest? Has he disappeared? He was a shoo-in for me in Money in the Bank. And yet, I don't know what's going on. But regardless, I'm still holding out hope, Andy, until probably Friday rolls around. Come on, Sami Zayn for Money in the Bank, baby. Put all your money on it and then watch as it goes the same way as my cryptocurrency investments. But let's look ahead past Money in the Bank to SummerSlam. Already speculation there's going to be some huge matches, of course, on that card. People saying maybe we're going to get John Cena versus Roman Reigns. Is Brock Lesnar going to be coming back? Yes, of course he is. Them saying that now bringing him back is a work. I keep telling you this. But also now, WrestleVotes tweeted this. It's been corroborated by many other sources online. There could well be not only John Cena versus Roman Reigns, another huge match to come. Edge versus Seth Rollins. Hashtag LTST. Remember when he tried to murder Edge, even though that was completely unrelated and they had no idea that Edge was ever going to be able to wrestle again? Well, watch WWE pretend that was the plan all along in the next few months, basically. Yes, Seth Rollins and Edge, apparently WrestleVotes is tweeting, is a first time ever match planned for SummerSlam. Not only that, but Andrew Zarian, who we've been talking about a lot over the last few months, really good sources for these sorts of things for the Matt Men Pro Wrestling podcast, teased another undisclosed big match. That's the Brock Lesnar match in my book, but potentially similar caliber, basically. We haven't seen Edge, of course, since WrestleMania 37 when he lost that triple threat match with Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns. I like the fact that they've been kept away for potentially bringing him back for this. He could come easily back as a babyface in amongst all this. And Seth Rollins, of course, has just gone 50-50 with Cesaro because we can't have nice things in WWE, Andy.
Yeah, we'll probably get another one of those matches as well, won't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good match, right? It's a good match. It's something that could headline at least like a B-level pay-per-view. And on the card where we're probably already getting Roman Reigns versus John Cena, it's just another selling point. This event is almost sold out already. Mm-hmm. It's doing exceptionally well as far as ticket sales go. By all accounts, WWE are just loading it up, and I'm all for that. SummerSlam's one of the coolest events of the year. This feels like it's going to be a massive coming out party for pro wrestling as a whole. 40-odd thousand people there in Las Vegas. Bring it on. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, right. Let's move on to your Twitter questions. At WhatCultureWWE, of course, if you want to get in touch with us. Rahul V. Krishnan starts us off. Rahul asks, if NXT could bring in some veteran superstars in the upcoming drafts, then which underutilized main roster stars do you think should move to the NXT brand? I think someone like a Jeff Hardy or a Shelton Benjamin will be a great asset to the brand. Thoughts?
Yeah, very interesting choices there. I think like a default answer for me is Cesaro every single time.
Mm-hmm.
Because Cesaro's class. He's absolutely class, man. And, you know, he's had a pretty good year on the main roster. He's had good matches with Seth Rollins, obviously, and Daniel Bryan. But think of all the fun things he could do if he was on Tuesday nights. And another one, Shayna Baszler.
Yes.
She's not long in the tooth pro wrestling-wise. She's only been wrestling for something like 7 or 8 years. But get her away from Raw. Please, yes. Get her away from Raw.
Please,
that
God.
That would be high on my wish list.
Yeah, another one who ate the pin last night. Jesus Christ, what are they doing with her? Shayna Baszler, yeah, an obvious one. Naomi, if you're not going to do anything with her on the main roster, she could be a champion down in NXT. And I always say this when we talk about these sorts of questions. Dolph Ziggler. Dolph Ziggler is a disgruntled main roster star saying basically, why the bloody hell am I down here with these goobers still learning how to wrestle?
Pubes.
He'd be a perfect character, something like that. And he can take Bobby Roode with him as if he wants, because I really like them as the Dirty Dogs. Right, second question today comes from Jake, who says, could you see the end of the Pinnacle versus the Inner Circle feud being Loser Leaves Dynamite? And then from then on, we only see the losing team members on Rampage, or is that booking to WWE?
It's extremely WWE, but with the way things have gone in this feud, I don't think we could rule anything out for being too WWE. How many times have they destroyed cars and stuff? It's feud's not going well, in my opinion. But I don't see any need to split them up into separate shows. I don't think there's much to gain from saying, hey, this drawing card Chris Jericho can only now appear on one show, or this potential, you know, future megastar MJF. Well, you can only see him on Fridays now. Mm. He's not going to come along on Wednesdays. I don't think there's many benefits to that, which is why I don't think they'll do it.
No, I think they should do Loser Leaves. Sorry, no. Maybe not Loser. Loser has to go on tour, because we all know where that's going, basically. Let's just do that. And yeah, astonishing that they kind of botched this feud quite a lot, considering the names involved in it. But these things happen sometimes, but we're not going to give them a pass here, because we're not paid shills, despite what people say in the comments, Andy. Final question today comes from Mimi Burris, who says, good morning, guys. With the brilliant new signing of Dewdrop to Raw last night, yes, that's Piper Niven's new name, although, to be fair, she didn't give it herself. It was just sort of projected onto her by Eva Marie. So saving graces. What are some of the most hilariously terrible ring names of all time? First that came to mind were Jimmy Wang Yang or Bill DeMott's General Erection.
Yeah, I mean, anything revolving around a penis, for a start.
Yeah.
Ding Dongs, the Johnsons, the Dicks, Big Dick, any of that stuff.
Yeah.
No good. Phineas I. Godwin and Henry O. Godwin, Pig and Hog. Cool. Terrorizing, Curry Man, Shark Boy. But the one that gets me every single time, and you know, every single time I think of this ring name, Beaver Cleavage.
Yeah.
For the love of God, Beaver Cleavage. Well, just why? Oh God, this has broken me.
We were forced to go back and watch those vignettes a while back, and yep, again, that was a thing. That was definitely a thing. The only ones I can really add to that are Hunter Hearst Helmsley. Not a good name, that. Not a good name.
Nope.
And the evil architect, Bill Ding. Always makes me laugh every time I think about that.
Bill Ding.
Also, hold my hands up. I didn't realise Paul Bearer was Paul Bearer for many years. So I'm in no position to judge for any of this. I was like, wait a second. Like a pallbearer. Oh my God, is anyone else? Oh, you all knew that. Okay, fair enough. Right, let's move on to today's ad finally and just wish some massive congratulations to Mustafa Ali, who announced a new addition to his crew coming in December. Congratulations to him and his partner. Fantastic news. That always nice to celebrate that. And very quickly, as a bonus ad finally, good luck to Scotland. Let's not be knobhead Englishmen. Oh, bloody hell. Wales and Ireland. Good luck to Scotland tonight. Genuinely hope they win. And get through to the latter stage of the European Championships. Good luck, Andy, mate.
Yeah, I mean, we don't need luck, do we? We've got the blue Cafu, Stephen O'Donnell at right back. We've got Lyndon Dykes, who's basically Zlatan Ibrahimovic up front. We are going to take Luka Modric's old body, grind it to dust, scatter the remains across whatever ocean is nearest when we win 7-0 and go through spectacularly. Bank on it.
Pump the brakes a little bit there, brother, but okay, fair enough. Let us know your thoughts on that and all today's news stories in the comment section down below. Don't forget to like, share and subscribe. And subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts. Busy day today. Got the Raw review, got the Dynamite review. Yes, I know it happened on Friday, but this is the first time we've got time to get around to it. And we've got the NXT preview coming later on today. What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from, for that one. Plus, let us know your thoughts and Twitter questions on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Watch there, follow both of us. You can follow Andy Murray at...
You can follow me at Andy H. Murray. The H today stands for Happy Birthday and Rest in Peace to Earthquake, the second best big man in the history of this business, after Tugboat.
Absolutely, absolute legend. Follow me on Twitter at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE. But for now, my thanks to Andy Murray. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.